This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Tim Lust, National Sorghum Producers. First off, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on how the new Climate Smart Initiative will work.
The USDA will provide grants. Now, these are not loans. These are grants to partners through a competitive process to implement these pilot projects. The projects have to incentivize producers to adopt production and marketing practices that will ensure that the agricultural commodity has climate-smart properties. They must also have a plan to measure, monitor, and verify the carbon and greenhouse gas benefits associated with those practices. And finally, these projects must also address how they're going to go about helping to develop markets that will promote the resulting climate-smart commodity generated from these practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by the CEO of the National Sorghum Producers, it's Tim Lust. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right, here we are, 2022, and planting for the sorghum crop is really right around the corner because we have multiple growing climates, if you will, for sorghum. Really, I guess we could see planting for, what, the next 5 months or so, depending upon where we are?
Yeah, it's a very, very fair analogy. Next 5 months is a good answer. Mm-hmm.
Well, as we start this, we're coming off of what's been a couple of really good years for sorghum. When you look back at 2021, now that we've pretty much got that completely in the books now, was it a good year?
You know, certainly it was. Obviously, a big acreage increase, 25%, 24% acre increase, and then, you know, some really good prices from a basis standpoint, and then the board kind of just continued to go up throughout the crop year. And certainly since we've harvested the 21 crop, you know, the Board of Trade just continues to go up. So a lot of things as we move into 2022 to be happy about in terms of what some of the price opportunities are. You know, but that's, you know, that's not all of the story. I mean, as our growers know, the board part is really nice, and we've certainly seen a big increase in commodity prices for all commodities. But, you know, the other part of this discussion really for 2022 is cost of production and what costs look like. And, you know, that's something we're certainly trying to spend a lot of time visiting with growers about and, you know, really evaluating what those numbers look like.
Well, let's start on one side of this as we head into 2022, and there is a profit opportunity here. I know in years past when we've talked, whether it's you or whether it's somebody there with National Sorghum Producers or whether we're talking on the sorghum checkoff side or even others who are related in the industry, there's no doubt that the cost of production versus, let's say, corn is less. And so there is a little different profit potential in there. Can you lay that out for us as we head into 2022?
Well, I think, you know, we saw 2021 just incredible demand from China and some really strong early bids. And certainly as we move into 2022, you know, we still have China that's going to, you know, already bought more in 21 than of the 21 crop than what they did in 20. And so we continue to see that strong export demand and strong demand from our domestic ethanol plants. So first, the demand is there and it's there. The second part of it, as you mentioned, in cost of production, you know, it's just I'm involved in it and I see it. But until you start paying the bills, you just forget how much some of these costs have gone up. Fertilizer, obviously, doubled and you know, availability issues, but even on chemical side, just amazed at the increased cost of chemicals and in some of the other crops, seed as well. And that's one of the things that, you know, from a sorghum standpoint, with a, you know, board price where it is today and in many areas still a positive basis bid, you know, you can lock some nice profits with sorghum, and while some profits on other crops, you know, while prices on other crops certainly look attractive, boy, the cost of production is just something that's really serious. And then obviously across a lot of the sorghum belt, we've got a really challenging weather situation here with no subsoil moisture and no winter moisture. And one of the things we haven't always been able to talk about, there have been years where there have been challenges on crop insurance price elections for sorghum. But with the formula that we did several years ago in the Farm Bill, the sorghum price election will be 99.6% of corn this year. So basically a couple of cents a bushel under corn. And so for a lot of growers, that gives an extra 15, 20, 30 cents of protection that they haven't historically necessarily had going into dry periods. Hope you never have to use that, but certainly in years like this, it is a piece of the puzzle. But really, when we just look at cost of production and what market opportunities are and what we think they will be next fall, for sorghum, we just think there's a really nice opportunities here to continue to lock in some profit potentials with less risk than maybe other crops.
You mentioned in there basis, and really we've seen basis vary quite a bit from one location to another, and in some instances you don't have to even travel too far away to find a big difference in the basis. Can we talk more about that? What's happening behind the basis at this point?
Well, there's obviously macro, there's obviously macro things behind the basis of, what is the pull at the Gulf and what is the pull in the Texas Panhandle. Those are two areas that generally from a macro standpoint with grains really help set, where basis goes. And then certainly domestic end users can pull those up or down, and then unit loaders and competition around those. And obviously last year we saw some extremely high basis prices for sorghum, and while we're not quite there now, we're starting to see that creep. A lot of our terminal facilities, those bids are starting to come back up again, and around our domestic ethanol facilities, those bids are coming back up again. And when we look at Texas Panhandle corn basis, it's very strong by historical basis, and generally frankly that's very good for sorghum, because just what that means is that with those strong ethanol plant demand there in Southwest Kansas and the Texas Panhandle, can't back off much on sorghum basis, or it'll just go in the domestic ethanol market, and then the export market, certainly I'll have to outbid that to be able to source it if the export market wants it. So, I think when we look at the situation and just kind of where we stand, good opportunity for basis, I think, to continue to go up here as we go into the year. Who knows where we're at with the South American drought potentially. And, on one hand, you always want to lock in some margins and some prices when you're at levels like where we are now. On the other hand, there could be a lot of upside potential depending upon what happens with South American weather.
We're talking about basis, and I'm just kind of having this feeling there might be somebody who doesn't know what basis is, and you've done a really good job putting together the basics of basis, right?
Well, certainly we have, and on the checkoff side, that's one of the education things we do. And, really it's just the, difference in the futures price and the cash price locally. And, certainly it moves up and down every year and by geography. And, in the last 3 years, it used to be one of those things that if you saw a 10 or 15, 20 cent move throughout the year, that was a pretty big basis move. And, frankly, in sorghum in the last 4 or 5 years, it's not unusual to see, 70, 80, 90 cents a dollar a bushel basis move. And so, certainly that volatility has been there. And the good news is most of that volatility the last several years has been to the upside, not the downside.
Okay. We've talked about, China in here, and we're coming up on the 2022 Commodity Classic, but I remember vividly a Commodity Classic a few years back when really everything seemed to hit the fan at one time, and talking about China and really an event that hit sorghum hard. Since then, we have a phase one agreement. China starts buying more, that phase one agreement has come to an end. I know I put everything here into a small little package, but as we move forward, where do we go with no phase one agreement really, really in place?
Well, I think first you go back to demand, and certainly, you know, China has seen, we have seen that there is demand in China for grains, and, you know, that's all grains. That's not just sorghum, but certainly there's some benefits that sorghum has moving into China. And so, you know, that's first and foremost. Two, you know, I think our governments are certainly working on what an opportunity might be going forward there. And then three, you know, there is always, you know, some amount of unknown. One of the things that we always know about China is information and details are, you know, are a little bit challenging sometimes and whatever all those things look like. But, certainly when we look specifically at sorghum, you know, both sales, and shipments, have certainly been good. Total export commitments so far, you know, stand at about 245 million bushels or about 80% of what USDA had, you know, targeted for the year. And we're really only 5 months into the marketing year. So, you know, I think we did have a couple of weeks ago, we sold our first boat for 22-23 for, you know, sorghum that hadn't been planted yet. And, so that's something that, you know, we'll continue to see. Historically, we never had any of those forward sales. Of course, last year by this time or shortly after this time, we had almost a million metric tons. And so, you know, that's something we'll be watching, as we start putting a new crop in the ground. But I think, you know, overall, we'll continue to work on other markets domestically and internationally. It's always good to, you know, have that diversity and have those options, but it's also good to always have a customer that's pulling very strongly on your product.
Tim, always great to see you. If we want to find out more about what's happening with the national sorghum producers, we can find it online, can't we?
Absolutely. Sorghumgrowers.com and sister organization, the checkoff program, sorghumcheckoff.com. Between the two of those, tremendous amount of resources about the crop and information that might be needed.
Tim Lust is CEO for the National Sorghum Producers on today's Agribusiness Report.
Looking to get more out of your hay harvest? At Livingston Machinery, we're proud to offer Heston by Massey Ferguson windrowers, disc mower conditioners, round balers, large and small square balers. These rugged machines are built for high performance and high capacity. They're simple to maintain and consistently deliver the best results. Don't settle for less. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Tim Lust, with the National Sorghum Producers.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with the national sorghum producers online at sorghumgrowers.com.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. It's the Agribusiness Report.
A newly formed advisory committee to the Agriculture Secretary will soon meet. A committee focused on policy development, barrier removal, and promotion of urban agriculture.
We had over 300 nominations. This is a 12-member committee. We had a peer group to go through and look at all of the nominations.
Natural Resources Conservation Service Chief Terry Cosby says the advisory committee is the latest step in building USDA's Office of Urban Agriculture. Formed as part of the 2018 Farm Bill to advance urban ag through financial and technical assistance and educational opportunities.
We're going to be looking at policies and procedures that help us to drive urban agriculture. What works? What doesn't work? What are you hearing out there in these communities? And how do we make sure that we're successful with this office?
More details about the new Federal Advisory Committee for Urban Agriculture can be found online at farmers.gov/urban. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.